I want to thank our sister Jenna for reading God's Word to us, and also to our brother Mr. Paul Backhurst. He's in his first year in the ministry course. He's from our Crossgar congregation. And can we also thank your minister and your session for the opportunity to come along and to be part of your services today. It is a privilege for us to be here, and we do pray the Lord's blessing will be upon us in the remainder of this service. Just before we come to the preaching part, can we unite our hearts in prayer, please? Each and every one of you here that is saved, let us be in prayer. The Lord will speak to us this day, that there will be that word in season for our hearts. The Lord's name will be magnified. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for the opportunity which is ours once again to come and to spend time in Thy house, fellowshipping around Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy help and for Thy hand upon this service already. We thank Thee, Lord, for the word of testimony. We thank Thee, Lord, for the praises that we have been able to sing unto Thy name this morning. And even now, as we come to the preaching part of this service, Lord, we ask Thee once again for help. Father, I confess that I need Thee. I confess I am nothing without Thee. Lord, Thou art the great potter, and I am but clay. Mold me and shape me after Thy way. Father, this morning empty us of self and of sin. Fill us full of Thy Holy Spirit, Lord. Move among this gathering this morning. Send Thy Spirit to move from seat to seat. Lord, give that word in season for each and every heart, that word of encouragement, that word of rebuke. And Lord, even if there be one in our service this morning still out of Christ, Lord, may this morning be the time when they come to that realization that they need Thee as their own and their personal Savior. Abide with us now and bless us, and do us good. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. Throughout the Scriptures, right from Genesis, right through the entire Old Testament into the New Testament, there are many occasions when we can look at godly characters that are portrayed in the chapters. We can think of those great patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We can think of the great kings of Israel, David, Solomon. We can think of the most famous prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel. There is those occasions as well whenever there are minor characters in the Scriptures which have a great influence and have a great testimony about their lives. We can think of one right there at the start of the book of Genesis, the man Abel. That man, Genesis chapter 4, he has but a small part in it. And he's one verse in Hebrews 11 in the verse 4. Three things really that we know about Abel. He's the second son of Adam and Eve. He offered a sacrifice which was pleasing unto God. And then his brother killed him. But that middle part of his life, that middle point that we have, is the most important one before God. He offered a sacrifice which was acceptable in the eyes of God. We can move on a number of chapters. We can think there of the man Enoch. And Enoch, the Bible has condensed his whole life down to just 6 verses. But yet we can say of Enoch, in those 6 verses, Enoch walked with God. We can move on. We can think of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. His entire life is condensed down to just 2 verses. And yet from those 2 verses, we know that Jabez was a great man of prayer. He prayed that wonderful prayer, O Lord, that Thou wilt bless me indeed and enhance my coasts. And the Lord answered his prayer. And as we move on into the New Testament, once again, we come across some minor characters. We have one here in Luke chapter 2. This man, Simeon. Man whose entire life was read to us this morning by Jenna. His entire life, everything that the Lord needs us to know about him is found there in Luke chapter 2. And I want for the remainder of this service this morning, I want us to focus our attention upon this man. I want us to look at his life. I'm not here to glorify man this morning. That is not my intention. But I believe the Lord and the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit came upon men and ordained them and gave them the words to say to give us testimonies of these godly men and women throughout the Bible, that we can learn from them, that we can apply some of their characteristics to our own lives so that we can live a greater and a better life for the Lord. Let us look at this man Simeon this morning. The first point which we want to emphasize in regarding the life of Simeon is the testimony of the man. The testimony of the man. Verse 25 of chapter 2 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout." Nowhere here in this chapter does it tell us who Simeon's parents were. We don't read of how godly a father or how godly a mother he had. We don't read here of how rich maybe his parents were, or maybe they weren't. We don't read of his life up to this point. We don't read of what his career was. We don't read of the social circles which he kept, of where he spent his money, of who his friends were. No, rather, the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon Luke, he comes and he tells Luke to write what's important to God. Your testimony. The Lord deemed the life of Simeon. The Lord deemed the testimony of this man. And so it is written in Luke chapter 2, this man is just and devout. I think back to 1 Samuel in the chapter 16. And there in that chapter we read of the prophet Samuel, and God sends him along to the town of Bethlehem. He sends him with the mission, go to the house of Jesse. When you get there, you're going to ordain and anoint the next king of Israel. And Samuel goes along to the town of Bethlehem, and the family of Jesse are called. And as those sons of Jesse are lined up and paraded before Samuel, the first one comes along, and Samuel looks at him and goes, "Look at that young man. Well, that man's tall and strong. That man's good looking. Surely that's going to be a great king of Israel." God says, "No." Then the next one comes along. Once again, Samuel, he looks at him and he says, "Surely that's royal material. Surely that's king in the making." God says, "No." And then God says to Samuel, "Man looks in the outward appearance. God looks in your heart." Men and women, this morning, as the Lord looks down upon our gathering here in Enniskillen, and the Lord looks into our hearts, what does he see? The Lord was to sum up our lives in two or three words, what would those words be that the Lord would choose to say about our lives? Prayer warrior? Soul winner? Child of God? Or maybe something worse. The Lord, he looked down upon the life of Simeon. The two words he chose for Simeon, man is just and devout. The man's not known for his worldly exploits. He's not known for his business. He's not known for his money. No, he's known for being a child of mine. He's a just man. He's a devout man. C.T. Studd, regarded as being one of the greatest missionaries of modern times, the Lord blessed him and used him, and he had the privilege of serving in both in three different countries, China, India, and Africa, in each country that he went to. Time after time, the Lord used him and saw many, many souls saved and won for Christ. What a testimony. We remember C.T. Studd this morning for his great missionary efforts. We don't remember him because he's from one of the richest families in England. We don't remember him because of how much money his parents had in their possession. We don't remember him for the silver spoon which he had in his mouth growing the entire life in his childhood. We don't remember him for his days playing for England in the cricket team. No, we remember him because of his testimony as being a missionary. And so it was with Simeon. The earthly life is irrelevant. In the eyes of God, the career is irrelevant. The amount of money you have in your pocket is irrelevant. The size of your car, the size of your house, your holidays, everything is irrelevant before God. But your testimony is before God. Do we strive to live lives that are God glorifying? Child of God, this morning, each and every one of us that is saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, is it our earnest desire in our hearts to live to the best of our abilities, to serve the Lord, to be busy for the Lord? Do we strive to be seen by God as being out and out for Him? So notice I said seen by God, I didn't say seen by man. There's so many people today, and whenever there's a crowd around, you'll see them and they're as busy as can be. Oh, if there's a crowd watching, they'll be doing everything they can. They want the praise from man. They want man to clap them in the back and say, great job, you're doing so well. No, Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, do I seek to praise men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The testimony of the man. Then notice with me, secondly, verses 26 and 27, you have the influence in the man. It says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. These two verses, of verse 26, he receives a promise through the Spirit. Verse 27, he's guided and he's directed in his footsteps by the Holy Spirit. This man, Simeon, he lived his life to the best of his ability. He served God to the best of his ability. And he worshipped God and he obeyed God every chance he had. And here is Simeon, a man, and he receives a promise from God. You're not going to see death. So you saw the Lord's Christ. You can just imagine the excitement in Simeon's heart every chance he had to climb up those steps to the temple. Day after day, as Simeon made his way to the temple, you can imagine him going into the temple and all the young couples, all the families are bringing their little children to offer their sacrifices unto the Lord according to the law. And Simeon, he's going from family to family. He's just peering down at the little child just in that hope that it would be the Lord. That day would be the day when he would once, that he would have his promise fulfilled, that he would meet with Christ. You know, it doesn't tell us in Luke how much time passed between the promise being given and the promise being fulfilled. Could have been days. Weeks, months, maybe it was years. Yet Simeon never, ever lost sight of Christ. Simeon never, ever lost sight of the promise that God had given him. Simeon never ran out of patience. Simeon never got angry. Simeon, time after time, he went to the temple with the exact same prayer upon his heart, Lord, that today would be the day when I meet with Christ. Now, on this particular occasion, once again, the Spirit comes upon him. And in the Spirit, he goes to the house of the Lord. Just like John in Revelation 1 and 10, he was in the Spirit. I want to ask the question this morning, how did you come to the house of the Lord this morning? I don't mean, did you come in a car, did you get a lift from somebody else, or did you walk, or did you get a bus? I'm not asking that. I'm asking you in your heart, how did you prepare and how did you come to this house today? When you got up out of bed this morning, you had your breakfast, you got dressed for church. Tell me, were you praying? As you had that quiet devotional time in your room, or maybe as a family, tell me, were you in prayer, Lord, speak to me today? As you're in the car making your journey to the church here, was it upon your heart, Lord, meet with us today in Enniskillen? Oh Lord, you know what I've had to experience in this last week. You know what I've went through. You know what I'll go through in the week to come. But Lord, in this hour this morning, Lord, speak to me. Lord, meet with us. Oh Father, bless the preacher, not for the preacher's sake, but that through him we might have a word from God. That once again our hearts may burn, once again we may leave the house of the Lord with joy in our hearts because we have met with Christ. Oh Simeon, time after time he came to the house of the Lord. He comes with the prayer upon his heart that he may meet with Christ. The Lord blesses him. That particular day, the Lord, whenever Simeon came to the house of the Lord, he went over to Mary and Joseph. He looked down into the arms of the parents and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what joy! You imagine the extreme happiness that came over Simeon. He was in the house of the Lord and he was in the presence of the Lord and he was meeting with Christ. Oh, his heart was thrilled as he took that little babe in his arms and he thanked God. All because he had let the Spirit guide his every step. The Holy Spirit, when he came upon him that morning, whenever Simeon received a guidance from the Spirit, Simeon didn't turn around and go, "No, not today, I'm too tired. Not today, I was there the other day, I don't need to go again." See, so many children of God, sadly, in this day and age, whenever they come to church, they don't come with joy in their hearts. They come out of formality. They believe it's Sunday, it's time to go to church. We'll sit for an hour. Let's hope it's not longer than an hour. The meat's on. I want to get home from a dinner. Then sadly, they'll come on a Sunday morning, and so many, you won't see them on a Sunday night. The midweek prayer meeting comes and you won't see them at the place of prayer. Not out of illness, not out of ties to maybe family, but just out of, sadly, sometimes laziness. Sometimes lack of care for the soul. Yet Simeon, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He let the Spirit guide his every footstep. And Simeon left the house of the Lord rejoicing, because he had been in the presence of Almighty God. Then thirdly and finally, not only the testimony of the man, the influence in the man. Verse 28 and 29, we see the prayer of the man. It tells us there, then took he him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word." You see a man here, he's at peace. He has full contentment in his heart. He's a man who has lived his life to the best of his ability. A man who is not only washed in the blood of the Lamb, but he's serving God day after day. A man whose heart was on fire, a man who was guided by the Spirit daily, and now the time comes, his promises have been fulfilled by Almighty God. He's ready to go home. He's ready to go to the eternal rest. Now I think one of the most somber and yet beautiful experiences is whenever you're in the company of an old saint of God. They may be lying on their deathbed. They know in their heart that their time on earth is coming to an end. And they're sitting maybe in a chair, maybe lying in their deathbed. They're simply saying, oh, I'm ready to go. I've lived my life to the best of my ability. I'm saved. I've served the Lord. I'm ready to go and meet Him. Tell me today, are you at peace? Today's your time up on this earth. Have you peace? I'm not asking this morning, are you happy with what you have in your home? I'm not asking you this morning, have you made enough money in your business? I'm asking you this morning, have you peace in your heart? If you have to answer no to that question this morning, I believe there's two reasons why you could be saying no. The first reason, as our brother indicated in his testimony, is that you're not saved. The thought of leaving this scene of time, the thought of breathing your last breath, terrifies you because you know that what comes after this is judgment. You haven't got the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and you're absolutely terrified of what hell will bring for you, and rightly so. The Word of God makes it so abundantly plain that hell and the lake of fire is a place of eternal torment. And friend, this morning, if you're found in our gathering and you're still out of Christ, it's impossible for you to have peace without Almighty God. It's impossible for you to have peace without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, without having your sins forgiven, without coming to that point in your life where you repented of your sins and you asked the Lord to save you. It's absolutely impossible to have peace. But praise God this morning, even as our brother Paul mentioned as he was leading, that we are still found in the day of grace. And this very morning in Enniskillen Church, you can have eternal peace. You can confess your sins right here, right now, in the seat where you sit. You can cry on to the Lord, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. The Lord has promised, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no if or buts. And friend, if you're here in the service this morning and you're out of Christ, I plead with you, come and find eternal peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said there was two reasons. You will have peace, of course, from your sins if you're saved, but I believe there are children of God today and they're not at peace. Yes, they have peace that their eternal salvation and their life is secure. But I sadly have to look at many, many occasions in my own life, and yes, I was saved. But for many years, I never wanted that time to come to go and to meet with my Lord. For my life was not as it should have been. I was not serving the Lord. I was not living for the Lord. And sadly, many people today, they don't give all of their life. They don't go and place their lives upon the altar and say, Lord, here is my life. Take it and use it as I see as fit. And they're scared. There is that fear of going to meet with God and having absolutely nothing to hand and nothing to say that you have done for Him in your life. There was a businessman in America many years ago. Very successful man. He had a great size of a company. Halfway through his life, the Lord wondrously saved him. He started attending his local church. For the next number of years, his minister watched him week by week. A number of years later, a place opened up for teaching Sunday school. And he approached this businessman and he said to him, "Sir, would you think about teaching Sunday school?" Businessman, he said, "Thank you, but sadly I'm so busy, I just don't have time." For the next 20 years, time after time, the minister came if there was openings for any work in the church. And time after time, the man, he said no, and then after 20 years, he retired. He came along to the minister and he said, "Sir," he says, "I've now retired, I've plenty of time, I'm willing to do what I can for the Lord." There's a place opened up for teaching Sunday school, and this man, he started teaching the class. It was a class of 8. He started in September. By Christmas, all 8 were saved. The minister, he came to him wishing to rejoice with him. That businessman, with tears flowing down his face, he waved away all the words, all the congratulations, all the praise from the minister, and he says, "Sir," says, "Yes, the Lord has blessed me. Yes, the Lord has done wonderful things, but what could the Lord have done if I had to give him all 20 years? Tell me, do you have peace this morning?" We say this morning as we close that our lives, number one, we have a testimony. We have a testimony of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, this morning, can we say that we have the influence of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, leading and guiding our every footstep? Number three, can we say we have peace? I earnestly pray this morning that this man's life, Simeon, there will be those things that we can learn from it. That we will see even the influence and the power of Almighty God and what the Lord can do in a life if we but give our lives to Him.